I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, I'm Ethan Palmer and you're listening to the Lore Boys podcast. Today, I'll be telling you everything you need to know about the Elder Scrolls, Dragon Breaks, and timelines in Bethesda's famed franchise. The simplest way to put it is knowledge, but there's nothing simple about an Elder Scroll. It's a reflection of all possible futures and all possible paths. Each reader sees different reflections through different lenses and may come away with a different reading. But at the same time, all of it is true. Even the falsehoods. Especially the falsehoods. Urag Groshub on the Elder Scrolls. Hey there, Loreboys here. This is Ethan, your host for this Elder Scrolls episode. With me is
Peter, one of the co-hosts of this Elder Scrolls episode.
And back from vacation with a puka shell necklace, it's
James Miller, I'm back.
Hey, how's it going, Jamie? How was the vacay?
It was really nice.
How was Tahiti?
Tahiti was really good. Yeah. I didn't
Thanks
wear
for flying
pants.
Us over here.
Yeah, no problem.
How nope. was and is Tahiti?
It's great, and you're here, so you can tell for yourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Warm, certainly.
And tahini, great vegetarian spread for anyone out there looking.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody. You come here for vegan food advice. Yeah. That's it. But also games.
Yeah, we're the Lore Boys. We talk about video games, nerd ass shit.
Yeah. Because we hate sex.
We're talking about Elder Scrolls again today. We did 3 weeks ago. We did Elder Scrolls and the creation of the world of Nern.
Was that 3 weeks already?
Must be, because we did Sonic and Cyberpunk in there.
Oh, yeah. Time flies when you only live 1 hour per week.
That is true.
Yes.
When we record this podcast.
They take us out of cryostasis to record.
We have a team of 93 monkeys upload the episode for us.
Yes. As our DNA is too unstable to maintain this shape. We risk dissolving.
For too long.
Yeah, that's why we had to cut the length of the episodes down.
Yeah, that's why we used to have four hosts.
And yeah.
One episode.
Jonathan melted.
Yeah, John melted into a horrible pile of primordial goo.
Yep.
He's a cute puddle, though.
The base, returned to the base elements of the human body. Iron, water.
Iron and water.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you need. That's what makes a human.
Salt, too, probably.
Probably. But the salt you eat, Peter. I mean, come on.
Right.
You're not born with salt.
Some people are. People with the chip on their shoulder. Play too much Dota.
Too much
little,
salt.
Little MOBA. Little MOBA meme for you there, kids. I don't play MOBAs, but yeah. I know those people get frustrated.
Yep. Historical thing, PUBG fell from grace this week. First time that they're not in the most played game on Steam. You might not even know PUBG anymore by the time you listen to this, because it's going to die.
Whoa, bold claims from Jamie.
What are we talking about, Ethan?
I'm looking up the Steam stats for the most played game right now.
Let's check it out. I'm almost sure it's Dota.
It says Player Unknown's Battleground.
Oh!
What's number two, Dota?
Dota 2.
CSGO?
CSGO.
Okay.
Team Fortress?
No. Grand Theft Auto 5.
And then? How?
Number five?
Warframe.
Warframe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Way to go. Way to go, free-to-play Warframe.
You know what? We're crushing everything.
Getting there.
I understand most of those, but Grand Theft Auto 5, I am still confused how it is one of the top 10 sold games every single year for, like, 3-4 years. When did it come out? Like,
people love GTA.
Long time ago.
Long fucking time ago.
And like, still, like, yearly releases are still competing with Grand Theft Auto 5 when most people have it already. Are people buying it twice?
Grand Theft Auto 5 is a lot like the fifth Elder Scrolls game, Skyrim.
Yeah,
because they just keep fucking buying
it. But it's also a modding hell.
Yeah, modders.
So like, just like you can put Thomas the Tank Engine in Skyrim, people mod. Shit into Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto also has a really active online community, too.
Yeah.
I kind of want to buy it just for the fact that they also keep updating it. So, like, if I got in now, I would pay the same as someone who got in day one, and I would have, like, 10 times the game.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is kind of cool. So.
You'd have to pay a lot more to be on the same level as in multiplayer.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, you don't just there's get, a like, lot of microtransactions.
It's also a pretty heavy pay-to-win game, but yeah. Rockstar's, like, popular, so they get away with it.
They get away with it, and nobody says anything.
They're not like EA, who yeah, are yeah. a bunch of degenerate dirtbags.
Yeah. Honestly, they're using it to fund the single-player experience of Red Dead Redemption 2, so we're okay with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well,
but yeah, it's a lot like the fifth in the Elder Scrolls franchise, which is what we're talking about today.
Are they going to make a Skyrim 2?
Yes, they're working on it, Peter. Good. Don't you worry your pretty little head. yeah, so if you didn't listen to the last episode, it's not required reading, but it will definitely fill in some gaps you may have if yeah. you're listening to this episode. We basically talk about the creation of Nern and some of the gods, which are called Aedra, and the Daedra, which are like demons or demon gods. Yeah. But that's pretty much all you need to know.
Yeah.
So we said before we started recording that the Elder Scrolls have a kind of funny timeline. The only dates I'm going to really use would be eras, like when the eras change. So pretty much all we talked about last episode when Lorcan and the other Aedra created the world was the Dawn Era is what it's called.
Okay.
The following era is called the Merethic Era. Which, as Peter will remember, the Mer are is the name for the elves.
The elves, yeah.
So this is like the era of the elves, also known as the Mythic Era.
Okay.
Mm. Presumably just because Merethic sounds like mythic? I don't know.
When is the Age of Aquarius?
It's when, dawning. It's yeah. before the Dawn Era.
Yeah. Mercury was in flux at the time.
Yeah. Well, would it not be the Merethic because it is... Humans hadn't arrived on the continent yet, because the Nords, as far as I remember, to show up in the north out of fucking nowhere and start beating elf ass, right?
If humans came from monkeys, why are there still monkeys, dude?
Yeah. Checkmate, atheist.
And then when you said
yeah.
showed up out of nowhere, did you mean showed up out of Norway?
Yeah.
Oh! yeah, it's called the Merethic Era because the beast races, so the Khajiit and the Argonians, and there's two other ones which I can't remember.
There's the Slowed, which are
the Slowed and the
frog people.
Yeah, and another one that starts with D, which is like the Drog or something. But
that I can't remember.
And possibly the Orsimer, which it probably isn't true, but there's one text in Skyrim which cites the Orsimer as a potential beast race.
Oh,
that's just one book.
That's one of those white is right fucking books. Yeah,
that's it.
Just like, I don't know where I got this alt-right pamphlet, but it says some pretty fucked up stuff about orcs.
Exactly.
I don't know what Richard Spencer's doing in Windhelm. All right. Yeah. It's like, I'm gonna get rid of this.
Well, he got turned out of, he wasn't allowed to go to Sweden, so
yes.
he had to go to yeah. Skyrim.
Orsimers are being orcs, right? Like, basically
yeah,
orc people?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, the Mer people are the elves.
Yeah.
So orcs are elves, technically, yeah. in this world.
Okay.
Same with the Dwemer. The dwarves are elves as well.
Okay.
Although they're extinct.
Well, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. So sometimes.
There's one left in Morrowind. Sorry to cut you off. There is one guy in Morrowind.
Yeah.
Yargrim Bargain or whatever
yeah.
is in like a leper colony.
Right.
Because the only reason he is the last surviving dwarf is because he was actually in Oblivion when the dwarves built God and
yeah.
vanished from this plane or whatever. So he went somewhere. He's like, I'll be right back, guys. It's like
yeah.
that. It's like that GIF from Community where Donald Glover goes to get pizza and comes back and the whole room's,
and the room's on fire.
And it's
yeah.
like, that's it. That's his story.
Yeah. His name sounds like something you'd use as a sound effect for an angry mob.
Jorgenbergen. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but he's in Morrowind.
Okay.
That's a really cool story, the story of the dwarves, and I was going to do it today, but I know you said you wanted to do
it.
I
very much would like to, yeah.
I left it to you. We're talking today about the Elder Scrolls themselves. So the last episode we did the Elder Scrolls creation lore. This episode we're doing the creation of the Elder Scrolls lore.
Right.
Whoa.
Very different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sometime during the Dawn Era, an unknown entity or entities created what is called the Elder Scrolls.
How many are there?
We'll get to it.
Okay.
It's unknown and unknowable.
Oh.
The Elder Scrolls are artifacts. The Elder Scrolls are
Stay
artifacts
tuned.
Of unknown origin and quantity, being simultaneously archives of historic past and future events.
Yeah.
So
okay.
It's a scroll. On it is written. It's kind of like a Schrodinger's scroll, where on it is written either the future or the past, depending on who's looking at it.
Okay.
And from when.
It all loops around anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. It does. In if you listen to last episode, you'll remember it does loop all around.
Yeah.
In the world of the Elder Scrolls.
I did remember.
So they are sometimes known as Adric prophecies. Adric deriving from Aedra, who are the gods. The
yep.
good gods, as opposed to Daedra, the bad gods or demons.
Well, they're
it's muddy.
They're exactly the Daedra are more of a they're what's the fucking word? They're kind of they're different gods.
Yeah.
They're up to interpretation gods.
That's it.
It depends on your opinion of what they're doing.
Which is a lot of
flexible gods.
Elder Scrolls lore.
Yeah.
Is depending on who's telling the story, because it's all derived from, like, almost all the lore is written in-game in various books.
Yeah.
And it's like, who wrote that book is going to kind of change, you know, the picture of the past. And so most of it is kind of conflicting, but there is a general sense of what the most agreed upon by the community lore, which is what I'm trying to stick to.
Yeah,
cool.
So the Elder Scrolls are sometimes known as Aedric prophecies, which implies they were created by the Aedra, although there's also some suggestion that they're not, like I was just saying. Full disclosure, we do not know, and we do not find out who created the Elder Scrolls.
That's all right.
That's.
I mean, all things considered, there's big chunks of lore that I'm really happy with in the Elder Scrolls. I love how we're five games deep and an MMO and still have no idea what happened to the player.
Exactly.
And I don't want to know. I think it's really cool. That's all that they left behind is their
lost
weird steam robots.
And they went to they went to Rivia because the dwarves were the first ones to arrive in the world of The Witcher franchise. If you remember from our unreleased Witcher episode.
Yeah.
Who's the really tricky...
Spider bits.
Who's the really Dopplers? Tricky... I think he's a Daedric god. Is it Sheogorath? Mm-hmm.
Sheogorath is the Prince of Madness.
I would love if he wrote them. He's so funny. I love his quest lines. He's like just wonky. You go to a tea party with him in Skyrim.
Yeah.
Which is the Daedric god which gives you the Wabberjocky?
That is him.
Wabberjocky.
The Wabberjack is
the Wabberjack is him.
Yeah.
I did that in VR. Like in
that quest was cool.
Not too long ago. Yeah.
The Daedric quest in Skyrim are really fucking.
Yeah, they're great.
Because like for a game that I'll say is a little bit dumbed down, a little bit oversimplified for my tastes, the Daedric quests in Skyrim are better than they've ever been. Because in Oblivion and in Morrowind, you would basically just, like, show up at a statue. It would get mad at you and tell you to do something.
Yeah.
Then it would give you an artifact. But, like, the Daedra are very clearly fucking with Skyrim.
Yeah.
Like, and all that,
yeah.
I like there's one that, not to get too far off track, but I was drinking wine in, like, VR in real life and was streaming, and someone told me to go do this quest where you get drunk and just wake up somewhere.
Where you get the black rose.
Yeah.
Oh,
that is the best quest. I felt on that page too because I was drinking in real life, and that was such a fun
quest. Anyone who hasn't played it, in the game you get blackout drunk with this guy, and then you wake up in the morning in like a random place, and you have to like piece together the events of the night before. It's like The Hangover, but in Skyrim.
Yeah, and you go to a church and you completely destroyed it.
destroyed it.
And she won't let you leave till you clean up after yourself.
Yeah, that's it.
Which god is that?
I don't remember.
I won't remember.
It's Sanguine. He gives you the Sanguine
rose.
Yeah,
right.
Never mind.
Makes sense.
Right.
Sanguine, my brother.
Yeah.
So the Elder Scrolls are described as exceeding both Aedra and Daedra, implying that neither group could have created them, or perhaps that it required a collective effort from each group.
Is it because they're too strong?
So, I mean, they are very strong. And they're just, we don't know. I don't know where they came from, but they're described as Aedric prophecies, but then also that they're stronger than the Aedra, so how could the Aedra have created them? And there's a bunch of debate over it.
Mm.
So until the events each scroll describes comes to pass, they contain information about possible events in the future, with each viewing containing a possible version of events. Once a prophecy contained in an Elder Scroll is enacted in Tamriel, the text of the parchment becomes fixed. After that time, all readers ingest the same divine message, creating a historical document declaring the unequivocal truth of a past event.
Cool. It's like the two-slit experiment where they shoot photons through. It'll look like a wave or one or the other.
If you're not looking at it, it behaves as a wave. And but if you are looking at it, it behaves as a photon.
Yeah, so if you like set up this screen behind it and shoot a bunch of stuff through it, the pattern that it shows up on the other side of the two slits looks like it was a wave. Then all of a sudden you put a camera right at the two slits to see how it's traveling through, and it reacts differently.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So like the history of Nirn and Tamriel is like quantum history. And like depending on how you look at it, it changes.
And then as soon as you do take a photograph of it, then it stays that way forever.
Even if you... It's so crazy. Like the experiments that scientists have done to try and trick light into behaving certain ways. Like they'll put a camera there and it'll behave a certain way. And then they'll put a camera there and turn it off just to see if like light behaves differently, and it does. It behaves like
it's got like performance anxiety.
That's it. It's so funny.
A photon of light, like with a little bit of sweat going down.
Yeah. Cool, I don't know.
Wrapped up in a towel, doing its makeup.
Look up the two slit experiment if you guys haven't already. There's some really cool YouTube videos.
It's where I mentioned Schrodinger and his box was famously, he was talking about how ridiculous quantum mechanics were and how like ludicrous it was to try and think that way. And it's all like quantum mechanics started with the observation of light and how light can be a photon and a wave at the same time. And it's the only thing we know of that can be a photon and a wave at the same time, depending on how you look at it or don't look at it.
Just to be sure, I have a degree in psychology. Don't listen to me, but look it up.
I've got a degree in cinema, video, and communication.
I don't have a degree.
Yet.
But if I get one, it'll be in business, so... scholars in the world of Elder Scrolls cannot argue the bias of the writer of an Elder Scroll, and the contents of a scroll once solidified cannot be altered by any known magic. So it's like, once it's written on an Elder Scroll, like, that is lore boys canon strong, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, which is, as we know, the strongest substance on earth is the lore boys canon.
Lore boys canon. Yeah. We build cannons out of unobtainium.
It's like, well, what if lore boys canon is so strong, why don't they just make airplanes out of it?
Yeah.
make some material that they make the black boxes and airplanes are made of lore boys canon.
But if you know anything about lore boys canon, you know it's very dense.
It is, yeah.
Just like us.
Sharpie, no whiteout. That's what happens. That's what...
Lore boys canon, with the Elder Scrolls. Yeah.
Sharpie, no whiteout.
Yeah.
Moth priest living on the edge. Yeah, exactly. He's crazy.
Yeah. the scrolls have some relation to time, as you can imagine, because depending on what point of time you're in, they're going to say a different thing.
Yeah.
They offer a view through a fixed point in time to the flow, of time itself.
Okay.
They operate from a fixed point in time, and they can see pretty much they can see in the future or the past is what that's saying.
Time is a river; they are a stone.
Yeah, yeah, and a stone with eyes on both sides of its head,
like stones have,
like stones
like
do,
like a deer,
like a deer. It's a deer stone.
I had brought this up in the last one. Again, I don't know if this is going to come up. Does this have anything to do with dragons? Because I know dragons are linked to time as well.
We'll talk about we're not going to go into dragons because the dragon lore in the Elder Scrolls is actually really, really thin.
Okay.
But we will talk about the relation of the dragons to time and to the Elder Scrolls themselves.
Cool. Okay. Yeah.
So the next sentence I have is, however, they appear to be dependent on the flow of time in order to function. Events which alter the linearity of time, known as dragon breaks, cannot be recorded or predicted by the Elder Scrolls.
Oh.
So it's called a dragon break because Akatosh, or Ariel, if you guys remember from the last one, they're one and the same, is depicted as a dragon.
Yeah.
And he is the Lord of Time. Because Anuiel, when Anu created the universe, he created Anuiel, who created matter, and then Anuiel created Ariel, who was time.
Right.
On the universe. So Akatosh is time itself. So whenever these schisms in time occur, you're breaking Akatosh the dragon. So it's called the Dragon Break.
Oh, okay, that would make sense. Are you going to cover? You are going to cover the use of Elder Scrolls in the game, right?
Yep.
So I won't bring that up immediately then.
So there have been three recorded and verified Dragon Breaks in the history of Nern.
He's got to have a cell phone number and a picture of himself and his ticket number to get verified.
Yeah, that's it. he's got to give a blood vial. Yeah. So it's a whole thing. They've got a DNA test.
Yeah.
No, but they're particularly tricky to verify because it's like the people are inside time. So how do you verify like the timeline just fractured? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because whatever timeline you're on, you're not going to really perceive it.
No.
But there have been three known and recorded ones. The first was performed by a group known as the Marukati Selective, a fanatical sect dedicated to removing Aldmeri influence from the religions of man. So it's this human sect. And this is what I touched on, I think, before we started recording, where the eras and what happens in which era is really ill-defined, because this is listed as happening in the Dawn era, but it's happening by men who shouldn't be around in the Dawn era. And, you know, the first Bosmer kingdom in the Valenwood was just being founded during the Dawn era. And
Dark Elves?
Bosmer Wood Elves.
Bosmer Wood Elves. Yeah. So they were the first ones to establish an empire on Nern. But so this is a sect of human cultists who worship Akatosh, the dragon, But do not accept that he is also Ariel, the god of the elves, who brought the elves from his perfect world of infinity to, or perfect world of immortality to, after he was tricked by Lorcan. So they're like, oh, our god's different, our god's better, blah, 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 blah. Their goal was to prove that Ariel and Akatosh were separate beings. They tried a lot and they kept failing to prove that he was different. So one day they said, like, let's just make a ritual to make them different. So they performed a powerful ritual channeling the Arbis, or universe, if you guys remember, itself, and created a dragon break, which lasted for 1,008 years, during which time they manipulated time to better fit their narrative. So,
whoa.
Akatosh just stops, has a cigarette.
I need a break, dude. Yeah. These humans, these worshippers, they're too much.
Yeah, exactly.
I tell you, I need a break. I'm taking 1,000 years. I'm taking a millennium.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be in the other room. Yeah. I'll be in the back.
Having a coffee, yeah. Smoke.
It's like a coffee shop that says Nernie's in the alley, like leaning against the wall, just taking it, like smoking a cigarette. Yeah. There's like a bunch of cultists inside, just like waving their arms, like, oh, you fuck you. We want our Nern our way.
That's pretty good art, actually. Yeah, yeah. Burnt out Starbucks employee dragon.
Yeah, yeah. So again, Akatosh is Ariel. They're the same person, but also maybe not.
Now?
Depending on how well they fit, depending on which timeline you're in, depending okay. which narrative it is. So
it's Old Testament, New Testament. It's like yeah. between like Judaism and Christianity, where it's like the same up until a point, but then it's completely different.
Just completely
guys.
Different, yeah. Yeah. It's like all of a sudden everything was rainbow and sunshine.
Yeah.
Yeah. This it's is not, yeah, it's not unclear lore. It's just really good writing. It's yeah. gonna, it emulates
oh,
real
yeah.
life.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Exactly,
yeah. So the second dragon break was during Daggerfall. And the third break occurred when ancient Nords cast Alduin forward in time.
Yes, that is what happens in Skyrim.
Skyrim.
Because you do go back in time in that game. That's what I wanted to bring up, is I loved that twist in that game where the ancient Nords thought they had defeated Alduin.
Yeah.
Because he was like, well, he vanished. All they did was send him forward in time to the events of Skyrim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why he's like, shows up, he's like, what the fuck?
So that's the...
But you also don't absorb his soul. When you defeat him, and he can travel to Sovngarde.
Because he's in Sovngarde, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But he can only be defeated in Sovngarde, but then you don't absorb his soul. And yeah. at the end of that game, which I may have mentioned before.
Skyrim 2 confirmed.
When you talk to when you talk to the Greybeards, you're just like, yeah, I didn't absorb Alduin's soul. Is he dead for real? And they're just like, maybe.
Yeah.
He might just like show up at the end of time like he's supposed to and kill everybody anyway. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or when time resets itself, as it always does, he's just going to be a part of it again.
Yeah. He's the guy who's, yeah, he's the tech they send over to unplug your modem for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So two of the three confirmed dragon breaks are during the games, Daggerfall and Skyrim.
Do dragons appear at all of these times?
Are dragons lizards?
No.
Does dragons lizards?
Not necessarily. The one, it was humans that performed the ritual, and
right.
it's not confirmed that Akatosh was there. The second one, Daggerfall, you have a quest to complete like a monument, and when that gets completed, it causes a dragon break.
Okay,
I haven't actually played the game, so I'm not.
I haven't played Daggerfall at all.
Yeah, most people haven't.
It's free. You can download it.
Yeah.
So contemplating how one could use an Elder Scroll to cast something forward in time, like Alduin, is kind of funny though, because it's how did Alduin get cast forward in time? Because the Elder Scroll says he did. Why does the Elder Scrolls say Alduin got cast forward in time? Because he did.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's a thing that says it could be anything, and you read it, and it says Alduin got cast forward in time, and you're like, okay, but why? And it's like, because the Elder Scrolls said so. But it only says so because I just read it.
Like, oh, that's funny. Yeah. That's quite the weird little catch-22 of, like, the scripture of the Elder Scrolls.
Well, I think that's, like, just part of it just being, like, it isn't anything until you read it, right? And then once you read it, that's what it is. And then, like, you can't nail any of that stuff down.
No, that's yeah, it. That's it's just funny to try and think about. It's a lot like quantum mechanics and, like, the two-slit experiment.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, it depends how you look at it, really. Like, what came first, the Alduin getting cast forward in time or the Elder Scrolls saying Alduin got cast forward in time?
Do the Dragonborn have anything to do with this, like Mirak and any of that shit?
Unconfirmed. Oh. Like I said, the lore of the dragons themselves is really, really, really surprisingly thin.
Yeah.
I looked it up today, and I, like, it's hard to find pretty much anything about it that's not just like the story of Skyrim.
Yeah, well, they weren't in any of the games.
No, that's it.
For that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there, I mean, there was the blood of dragons, like Tiber Septim and his lineage, but...
Well, in Oblivion, yeah.
Yeah. So like, they've been a theme in other games, but they've never been present in other games, and they've never been history in other games, and so, like, you look it up, and it's just, like... First of all, there's nine separate pages on the wiki for dragons, and each of them is, like, two paragraphs long.
Oh, okay.
So it's really, really sparse, really, really unconfirmed. I don't think the Dovahkiin have pretty much anything to do with... time itself. I don't know what creates a Dovahkiin other than
having
a need
a dragon
for a Dovahkiin.
Soul,
yeah, exactly.
Every time we talk about a game, I always want to play it. And I have this one in VR, and I really just want to cancel plans with my girlfriend and just go play VR. Yeah.
I want to go play Daggerfall, figure out what happened with that other Dragon Break.
I wouldn't mind playing through Morrowind. It doesn't quite hold up, but I feel like if I stuck to the main quest, it would be a good experience.
It's a really good game. Like, it's still my favorite, but just keep in mind, your skill number in that game, you know, like, when you are... What, you know, like, Elder Scrolls, the skill goes up as you do, but in Oblivion and in Skyrim, it just increases your damage as you get better, which
and
makes
enemy damage,
sense, right? In Morrowind, it's your chance to hit. So if you have a skill if your skill in archery or in magic is 35, or even with like long blade, that's your chance to hit. So two thirds of your spells will fail until one succeeds and hits something that gives you an increase. Same with archery. Doesn't matter where you're aiming your bow, idiot.
Yeah.
That arrow will just vanish because your skill is too low and do no damage.
Yeah.
The combat system in Morrowind is fucking terrible, but it's a much better game.
Am I thinking of Daggerfall or Morrowind that your jump skill goes up the more
Morrowind.
You jump?
That's
all
Oblivion.
Of them,
too.
All of them except
Skyrim.
Skyrim, they removed acrobatics because they were just like, people are using
it. You just spam it to level up.
They're spamming it. People are spamming it to level up, and they're breaking the game too early.
You could, like, jump over houses, like, at a certain point. If you just,
and
like,
Morrowind, that's how you fast traveled. You put on this certain boot, and you could just jump, like, above the map where, like, everything... Like, the draw distance, you got so far away from the draw distance that everything just became, like, gray clouds.
Yeah.
And then you eventually landed on, like, the other side of the map after, like, two minutes of just being in the air.
The actual fast travel system in Morrowind is a lot more like The Witcher, where you can only fast travel from certain points.
Okay.
It's like a Silt Strider, you ride this big bug.
Yeah, it's like the in Skyrim, how you get, like, a carriage outside of the major cities.
Yeah,
that's how it worked. You had to go to the place and talk to the guy, and then he would take you... To one place.
Yeah. When I played Skyrim, it took me like probably 20 hours before I realized you could fast travel. So I was walking around. Not the worst thing. It was pretty fun.
I never really fast travel in games. I love walking around.
Especially the Elder Scrolls games, because you find especially Oblivion, man, you find so much cool stuff by walking around. Oblivion's definitely my favorite game in the series.
Oh, really?
Definitely. It's the first one I played.
Yeah, it's
and,
the same.
Yeah, and I went back and played Morrowind, but, like, still Oblivion for me is just, like, I've sunk way too many hundreds of hours and bought three copies of that game that all got laser burned by my shitty Xbox. But, yeah, that was definitely my game. And, actually, I loved the level up in that game, because if you got too high leveled, the last quest became, like, almost impossible to do, because you have to escort a guy... like through like a Daedric assault.
Oh, you have to escort Martin.
Martin Septim.
Yeah,
and he doesn't level up as you level up, but you level up, and all the enemies scale their damage. And if he dies, then you're just like waiting for him to get back up from like unconsciousness.
You know what I mean?
What's that?
You like that? That seems really
no. I didn't like that. Okay, I like the game, but I was just remembering this funny thing where like if you're too high leveled to do the main quest, it becomes so annoying because it takes like an hour and a half just to get him to walk 30 feet like into the Oblivion gate so you can shut it. Like, and then like when you're in the plane of Oblivion and all these demons are just like attacking, you're just trying to fucking protect this guy who keeps falling down. It's like,
what a nightmare.
So, how to read an Elder Scroll?
It burns your eyes, doesn't it?
Yep.
It hurts the eyes a whole bunch.
Yeah.
It takes time, preparation, and training. Those who are unable to understand the Elder Scrolls claim they see unknown etchings and runes. So you can just look at an Elder Scroll if you don't know what you're looking at.
If you're a dummy.
And you'll be fine. Yeah. Elder Scrolls for dummies. It's just it's like a blank page with like a bunch of like scribbles on it.
Guy with his eyes being burned out of his head.
Though with increasing levels of understanding, you can gain insight along with a higher chance of going blind and or insane.
The Moth Priests are all blind.
Elder Moth Priests are all blind.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So
it's a coming of passage. You have to You have to go blind in order to become an elder.
Listen, if you want to get on salary and then you want to
get unionized.
Yeah, if you want to get partnered at the Elder Scrolls firm. Gotta poke your eyes out.
Yeah.
That's funny because, like, unionized, it's like you have to lose your eyes to become part of the union. Unionized. Yeah.
Call me bastards. Oh, you want to poke our eyes out? Yeah.
You want to become part of the union, huh? You gotta pay the union dues. Well, what are the union dues? I'm gonna splash this acid in your face.
Ah! There goes your union eyes.
Yeah. So, only those of something known as the Cult of the Ancestor Moth, the moth priest that Peter was just referring to, may read from the Elder Scrolls.
Moth sounds like a really cool enemy.
Right? They are, after all, the only ones who know how. True insight into the Elder Scrolls comes at a price, like Jamie said. Every time one is read, it renders the reader with a blindness that increases with each new reading while simultaneously giving them a broader view of its contents. So they're like junkies, and they just like keep going back to this thing that like hurts them every time they do it. But they're like, I just need a little more. I just need a little more knowledge, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need to see the flow of time a little bit better.
But it's kind of like King Lear is in, like, whenever he became blind is when he saw the most kind of thing, yeah.
When he gouged his own eyes out?
Yeah.
Did he gouge his own eyes out, or did the
witches
take his
Oedipus.
Eyes?
No, that's Oedipus. King Lear lost his eye.
The witches took him.
Yeah, that's right. The witches took him.
I think so. I like King Lear. As far as Shakespeare goes.
Billy Shakes, we used to call him.
Yeah. So the reader of an Elder Scroll will be left without vision, forever removed from the removed of their right to read the scrolls. So, like, that's kind of the thing. Like, you need your eyes to read them. But the more you read them, the more blind you go until eventually you can't read them anymore.
How ironic.
So it's like you're literally a junkie, but it's like it drives you to a point where you just can't shoot up anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
It just doesn't do anything.
It's like if every time you did heroin, your arms got shorter and shorter until they couldn't reach across your chest anymore.
I pictured like someone just really wanting to finish a Sudoku puzzle, and every time you got a couple more numbers, but you'd always go blind before getting the last couple numbers.
Yeah.
So you just can't quite finish the whole thing.
Is that all that's on an Elder Scroll, just Sudoku?
Yeah, just a Sudoku, yeah. But it's like one of those like really hard ones that have like letters and numbers.
Oh,
it's like 4x4 boxes.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I've never done a Sudoku puzzle.
I've done a lot. I really like them.
Yeah.
They're great for calming down.
I've done a lot, but I don't play by the rules. I just put whatever numbers I like.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like doing Sudoku at all.
Well, they're always filled out when I'm done, so I'm happy.
That sounds a lot like filling in blank squares with numbers.
So the Dwemer, or the dwarves.
Them again.
The dwarf elves, if you will. Being the tech gurus that they were able to create a device known as the Lexicon, which would allow someone to read an Elder Scroll without going blind.
Oh, they built goggles.
Yeah, well, in Skyrim, you see a couple lexicons. One of them is where you get the Elder Scroll for the main quest. It's that huge, like, orb device with the four buttons. It's a puzzle. Yeah. It's a puzzle.
I beat that main quest
once in
2011.
Yeah. It's in a room, and the lexicon's like in the middle, and there's like two spiral staircases up to
and there's like all these lenses, and you have to turn the lenses in the way that it shines the light on it.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So
that's the device
that they use to read the Elder Scrolls. That's the lexicon.
Okay.
Surprised I actually remember that. I usually forget everything about video games.
Jamie hates video games, really.
I like them when I'm doing them, but I'm always not recording. I'm just having fun.
Jamie likes fun.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
What an idiot. So the ritual of the Ancestor Moth. We've all done one.
Oh yeah, I did one before we came.
You also did one when you beat Skyrim.
Oh really?
Yeah. You perform the ritual of the Ancestor Moth and you read the Elder Scroll.
I know you read an Elder Scroll, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you have to meet a moth priest and he walks you through it.
Fuck, I really don't remember Skyrim that much.
Really
I beat it once like 7 years ago. I've meant to do it again, but it's very long, and there's a bunch of other games that have come out since 2011.
I have it on PS4, PS4 VR, and PC if you guys want to get into it later.
I have it on PC.
Yeah, I have it on PC.
I went to a launch party in Toronto for Elder Scrolls, yeah, for Skyrim. It was great.
You mentioned it in like an early episode because you missed out on one thing to go to that, and I forget what you missed out on. It was another game that launched at the same time. It's not super important.
I bailed on something to go to the Skyrim party, yeah. It was great. I went to the Riv.
You had a weird memory,
Toronto.
Dude.
Yeah.
You're like surprised that you remembered like something from a game that you love so much, but you're like, I remember, Peter, you once told me that you skipped out on another game's launch to go to the Elder Scrolls Skyrim launch.
Yeah. Toronto.
Yeah,
that happened.
Yeah, Jamie's gonna write my biography.
So the ritual of the Ancestor Moth is the ritual by which the Elder Scrolls can be read. Please, Peter.
What is an Ancestor Moth?
I have that in several sentences.
It's a moth that has children.
It's a moth. It's a moth. You find Grandchildren and great grandchildren.
Yeah,
good, exactly. Good. All
right. You're welcome.
So ancestor moths are pretty much just moths.
They're not even big.
Nope, they're moth sized. They swarm. They swarm you in the game.
Moth size in Skyrim is the same as in real life. Ethan made a thing with his hand, but I guess like moth is super abstract.
I remember from my like grad party in high school, we went to this cabin where there were moths that were like 4 inches across.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them get quite big.
Big motherfuckers, yeah. Yeah. And they're like so fuzzy and cute.
Yeah, when it's the body is like your thumb, you know? It's
yeah.
Like,
it's because moths can live forever, and out in the woods, there's less lights for them to run into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they just keep less growing. Fires to yeah. fly in. Yeah. If they you go far enough out into the woods, moth big enough, eat your head.
Yeah. Exactly.
those moths, they didn't involve streetlights yet.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. The day they do. That's Ooh. why Edison invented the light bulb was he had a serious giant moth problem
to defeat the ancestor moths.
Yeah. And so like a moth the size of like a panzer tank basically showed up to his first light bulb, just touched it, and they disappear. Right, as soon as they touch a light, they just disappear.
It's so scary to see a moth that big because they're so clumsy in the way they fly. They kind of just like know where they're going, and by random chance they get there eventually. Yeah. So like imagine a panzer tank moth just like knocking down buildings. Yeah.
Like, just like knock over
like
trees.
Mothra. Sometimes ally and sometimes enemy of Godzilla.
Yeah. Now Edison built the light bulb and put it in Tesla's lab, and all these panzer
giant
tanks just flew in and wrecked all of Tesla's inventions. Like
he's got a Tesla coil like biting them off. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be good Elder Scrolls art? Like, no context. Moss Tesla
wrecking Tesla's lab.
Yeah,
like getting fought off by like a Tesla coil and an earthquake machine. Like,
oh Christ, what are we even talking about? What's this episode about?
Yeah, we're talking about ancestor moths. So.
Oh, good.
The ritual of the ancestor moth is a ritual by which the Elder Scrolls can be read. They take place within one of the ancestor glades scattered across Tamriel. And the reason they take place in an ancestor glade is because an ancestor glade is called that because it is a home to ancestor moths.
Oh, good.
Cool.
So in the Dawnguard expansion of Skyrim, they added random ancestor moths, which you can pick up as herbalism reagents or alchemy reagents.
Yeah.
But before that, it was pretty much they only live in the ancestor glades. The voice of the ancestor moth has always been an integral part of reading an Elder Scroll.
Oh wait, I have a funny Skyrim story that I still remember.
Please. What does the moths sound? Okay.
Did you know that the butterflies and the moths in Skyrim are physical objects that can actually be shot out of the air? And one time I got killed because I was fighting like a hard enemy, ran away, turned around with like my last 2 HP of health, turned around and shot an arrow at him, and it hit a butterfly.
Gives you that kill cam.
Yeah,
like.
It hit a butterfly, stopped dead in the air, fell straight down, and then I was immediately killed.
<That's>
by whatever
amazing.
The fuck I was fighting.
Gives you like the kill cam where it's like the slow mo arrow shooting right at the guy. You don't even see the moth in the kill cam; it just stops in midair, drops right down.
So, what does a moth sound like when it's reading an Elder Scroll?
So that's a great question. They maintain a connection to the ancient magic allows a moth priest to decipher an Elder Scroll. So basically, you have these swarms of moths. In Skyrim, you perform the ritual. You get a special knife, and you go to a special tree in one of these glades, and you harvest the bark of the tree, which the moths eat, and you take it to a certain spot in the glade. And you hold it up, and the moths swarm around you.
Wow.
And the sound of them swarming around, you know, like a moth is like...
Yeah.
But a bunch of them, it sounds like really little people are having a round of applause.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Or very far away people.
Yeah, very far away. It's all about perspective.
Yeah, so basically them swarming kind of...
You read the Elder Scroll. It is both... tiny people very close and a lot of normal people very far away. But it depends on when you read it.
Exactly. I can't tell if that person's just really small or really far away. It's a flat piece of paper, so there's no depth of field, right?
Of course. Exactly.
So them swarming around you emits a soft harmonious trilling that when amplified tap into a very primal form of magic. So the moth priests basically use this trilling that automatically taps into a very primal form of magic, like not we talked about last time, magic, you know, on Nirn is derived from Mundus,
yeah,
the sun. And this is not derived from Mundus's magic. This is like Nirn itself, like Lorcan's body almost.
Yeah.
And they tap into that. The Maws themselves will become a conduit for the reading of the scrolls, which the Moth Priests use to decipher the message therein.
It would make sense that it's not connected directly to Magicka in the Elder Scrolls, because the magic that like characters use is obviously different because it comes through from Oblivion in the stars and sun.
Yeah.
Whereas if the Elder Scrolls are possibly at all points older and younger than time itself, then they would have to tap into something different.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Turns out you get a bunch of moths together, you tap into the frequency of the Anthem of Creation. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How much fucking ketamine do you think they are doing at Bethesda when they're thinking this shit up?
Yeah. They just have one guy on ketamine who's writing all this.
Yeah. And he's on a porch with a laptop and he sees a moth fly towards him.
Man, like, if a bunch of those were together, I'd probably be able to see through time.
Yeah, that's it. He thought to himself.
Yeah, he thought. And
he tried. Wrote. He tried to mouth the words, but all that came out was "oh." So to call back to a question you asked at the top of the episode, the exact number of scrolls is unknown.
Yeah,
and in fact, they cannot be counted, as proven by the Cult of the Ancestor Moth. Any attempt to quantify them or even scry their location causes the scrolls to change place and number, seemingly without reason.
They don't want to be found.
Yeah, that's
quantum.
It.
Yeah,
it's just like
that's really cool.
If you look at them, they move.
Yeah.
If you don't look at them, they don't move. But as soon as you look at them, they move.
Yeah, it's like I need you to put the Elder Scrolls on a shelf here, but for the love of God, do not count them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're gonna have to start over.
Yeah. You do an inventory. You get to the last one. You're like, check that box. Boop.
You have a dragon problem. You really need to check the scroll, and you can't look at it, so you're like walking backwards with your hand out.
Yeah. It's like Braille.
You're trying to grab a rolling pin. You're like, why is this here?
Yeah.
Fuck. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, you'll do an inventory like in the Moth Priest warehouse.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, when's your shift start? An undetermined point in time.
Yeah. It's just like he's got them all on a shelf, and then like he counts the last one, they just appear all over the warehouse, just like on the floor in a bucket of water.
Like. Yeah. Well, that's like a good make work project.
Yeah, you know?
If,
that's
if,
it.
If you need to run a racket,
that's then it.
The Elder Scrolls, whatever.
What do we get the intern to do? Have him count the Elder Scrolls. Yeah, that'll get him.
Yeah, it's a good hazing ritual for Moth Priest interns.
I also, I love the idea, because like in many of the games you have to find an Elder Scroll. I love the idea that like the hero goes, grabs an Elder Scroll, and then like one of his enemies is just like, just try scrying them, and it just like pops off his back and ends up like somewhere else
in the universe. Yeah, like a counter.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Or you just like you want to get it, but it's in like a super secure location, so you're just like, let's just try and find it, and then it like it appears in another place.
Like you can like brute force it. Just scry it till it shows up in your lap.
Yeah. If you shake your foot with your laces untied enough times, probability says they'll end up tied. Like,
I was talking about that with someone today. Just like that's like twinking a character where you just like game the system.
Yeah, exactly.
You build like Dwemer constructs to just run the algorithm as many times as possible in as few seconds, and as soon as one of them gets it, they just like stop running it.
Yeah. That'd be like the tech bro Dovahkiin that everyone hates.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of going on a quest, just like build this big brass orb that just did all the work for.
Stays in some inn called like the Rusty Nail and just drinks all day.
He's just playing Xbox. He's got the machine running out back. Like.
Yeah. It's like mining for Bitcoin.
Dovahkiin, aren't you going to stop Alduin? Like, I'm working on it.
Yeah, playing Fortnite.
Every time he gets a kill, first round, duh!
Blast the TV off.
So the dragon Parthunax describes the scrolls as being artifacts that exist outside of time, as well as fragments of creation.
Parthunax is really cool. Also, voiced by the same guy
Mario.
Who voices Super Mario.
Yeah.
He's really cool because he does have a point where you're just like, aren't dragons all inherently evil because you're here to consume time? He's just like, yeah, whatever, but like, what is more impressive, bro? to be born good or to overcome your like evil nature through meditation. I was just like, damn,
through Dragon great effort.
No, yeah, that was cool.
That's a good line.
He ends up being a bad guy in the end, though, right?
No. You can kill him.
I can kill him.
The blades will ask you to kill him because they're dragon racists, but you don't have to.
I think I killed him both playthroughs because I didn't trust him.
Yeah.
No, he's a good guy.
I love that dragon shout that makes dragons land.
Dragon rend.
They only fly because they believe they can fly, and then dragon rend puts the thought of being land
like the doubt,
land
yeah.
lover. Yeah, they puts doubt in their minds, which is why they land until it wears off.
Whoa!
Because something like dragons are like bees, where they're not aerodynamic and shouldn't be able to fly, but they just believe they can fly, and then dragon rend is just like, maybe I can't actually fly. It makes them nervous. It gives them anxiety.
Yeah, they anti-Tinkerbell them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Which killed her.
If you remember from Peter Pan, Tinkerbell died.
The Tinkerbell boss fight in Peter Pan is really difficult. But if you stop believing the boss exists, you win.
I played Peter Pan on Sega Genesis, and it was actually a really fun game.
The Lion King game is fucking dope.
Until you get to the fucking... when you get the carpet and you have to fly out of the fucking lion's head.
That's in Aladdin.
Aladdin's the stampede in the Lion King. All of those Disney games have one fucking level that is just fucking annoyingly impossible to beat.
We talked about
and the rest of it are great games.
Yeah, we talked about this though. There's not much memory space. They got to make one part really hard or else people finish it too fast and not get their money's worth.
I got to go back to
make it the last level, fuck.
Yeah.
Not three levels into the game.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get my money's worth because I was six and I couldn't fucking beat that level.
Yeah.
In Aladdin, it's like the reaction time you have to get the carpet, like, because it's basically like you have three tiers. As like you have the top one, the middle one,
three
or the
lanes,
low one.
Yeah,
like three lanes, where you're flying in and you're just dodging obstacles, but like the reaction time that it gives you is like half a second of just like something flashing, and it's like your reaction time, your eyes reaction time is like 0.1 seconds, so now you have 0.4 seconds to fucking react to this thing. It's like it's stupidly difficult, and it's like I've seen speedruns of it, and even like speedrunners will be like, sometimes it's kind of luck because, you know, you just move the right way because...
And 30 frames? So like if you took your eyes... Yeah. Then how much seconds? Then 30 frames.
That's
have like six to eight frames.
That's
like
it. You have your reaction time after already counting for the fucking 0.1 loss.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm mad at the Aladdin Disney game on the SNES. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. He wasn't mad at it until he had actually played it because it was both frustrating and easy at the same time
until
he
looked
that level.
Exactly. Right.
Staying on brand here, boys.
So I think the Parthenax describing it as fragments of creation. I want to get into Lore Boys canon territory here. Because I've been theory crafting a bit. I've been reading up on my Elder Scrolls. Artifacts that exist outside of time and artifacts that that are fragments of creation. Creation, as we know it right now, is Lorcan, because his body is the world. Space is oblivion. The stars are the Magna Gay.
Wine is his blood.
Well, yeah, that's it. The earth is made of crackers.
Yeah.
So I like to think that the Elder Scrolls are some way linked to Lorcan, because when Lorcan created Nirn, the Elder Scrolls must have been created at some point.
Yeah.
Lorcan is a child of Sithis, who is the evil or the chaos in the universe. And I think Lorcan trying to impose will on Nirn, which is like kind of against his nature, because he tried to create an orderly planet with an orderly star system and an orderly, you know, physics when he is a child of chaos, would probably impose some need, which seems to be where all the Aedra and the Daedra arise from, is this need for something in the universe.
Because they all represent different things.
That's it. And I think the Elder Scrolls really reflect his kind of chaotic nature they reflect both sides. It's like two sides of a coin where, like, if the event hasn't happened yet, they're completely chaotic, where they just show you possible futures.
Like, while the coin is spinning, basically.
That's it. And then as soon as the coin falls flat, it's like, that is set in stone in the history of Nirn. It's never said that the Elder Scrolls exist on any other plane, in any other dimension, anywhere else. They're brought to oblivion once, I believe. It's one of the Elder Scrolls is stolen and by a servant of Molag Bal and brought to oblivion.
Is that in Daggerfall?
I think I have it written here.
Could be ESO.
It's just a history, so it's just
it could be an ESO because Molag Bal is the main villain of the vanilla game.
Yeah, okay. Elder Scrolls Online,
the MMO.
The MMO, yeah.
So, the appearances of the Elder Scrolls throughout history. There's not that many. There's been five...
They're busy bitches. They got better things to do.
That's it. There's been five or so recorded times, or not recorded, but relevant times where the Elder Scrolls have played a part in the history of Nern. During the Merethic era, the remaining Snow Elves, fleeing the Atmorans, either returned to the Forgotten Vale or were enslaved by the Dwemer.
Were the Snow Elves the Kymer?
No, that's Kimmer? The Dark Elves.
The Kimmer. The Dunmer are the Dark
no,
Elves.
No, the Kimmer are the we covered this last time.
Primordial
on the last
Dark Elves, right?
Yeah, they're the precursors to the,
right,
the Dwemer.
Right, excuse me. What were the...
Oh, not the Dwemer, but the...
What were the Snow Elves called?
Falmer.
Falmer, excuse me. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
I think the Snow Elves fleeing the Atmorans will probably get covered in your episode because there was a pogrom of Snow Elves at the hands of these Atmorans, who I won't get into who they are because we're getting pretty good on time here. But they fled these Atmorans who were hunting them and slaying them. They fled one of two places. They fled back to the Forgotten Vale, where they were safe, or they fled to the Dwemer.
Yes, who turned them into slaves.
The Dwemer forced the Snow Elves to ingest a toxic fungus, which blinded them and drove them insane.
Yep.
Then forced them to invade the Forgotten Vale, so where the other Snow Elves had fled to. So it's like, it's kind of fucked up. It's like, they come to you, they're like refugees. You're like, we're going to drive you crazy, and we're going to send you to go kill the rest of your family back home.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, the dwarves are bad people.
Yeah. Yeah. So... This is a kind of funny, nonsensical thing, but one of the mad elves, one of the mad Falmer, sent by the Dwemer, bit Arcturic Virther, who turned into a vampire.
Who is Arcturic Virther?
So he is relevant in Dawnguard.
Yeah,
I remember
the
that.
The last surviving Snow Elf, he was turned into a vampire. I did not look up roots of vampirism in Nern.
I know about that, though. They were created by Molech Val. So the main villain of Dawnguard, whatever the fuck his name is.
Harkin.
Harkin, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, he's the first vampire, and he got vampirism and immortality by sacrificing both his daughter and wife to Molech Val to rape. And then they drank his blood or something, and all three of them turn into vampires.
As Molech Bal, it seems like there's a lot of other way to get women than give up an Elder Scroll, or give up his. Then turn people into.
Are you sure Harkin was the first vampire?
He was the bad guy.
I know he's the bad guy.
He's like the most ancient vampire, and like the plot of Dawnguard is like him and how he sacrificed Serana.
He's an ancient vampire.
Yeah.
I think Virther was the first vampire.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Skyrim, the Dawnguard quests, you start off and you go into this cave, you fight a bunch of guys, and then you like unlock this puzzle that brings what are those things called?
Circular
prism? Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
A cylinder.
Cylinder, yeah, cylinder. And circular prism.
Well,
yeah. And it comes out, and Serana's in there with an Elder Scroll on her back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where does the Elder Scroll come in there? I'm not sure, but...
That's my next sentence, actually.
Oh, perfect.
So why I think Virther was the first vampire was he got so mad after being turned into a vampire, and he's like, fuck, I can't go to the beach anymore. I'm like, oh, I hate this. He creates a prophecy called the Tyranny of the Sun, which would be contained on three separate Elder Scrolls.
The Tyranny of the Sun is a quote from Harkon. As well,
that's the prophecy that he's trying to fulfill.
Yeah,
is the Tyranny of the Sun, which Virther created,
because he creates that bow or whatever that you can fire into the sun.
Ariel's bow,
block it out. Yes, exactly.
The bow of the god himself.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that makes so much more sense.
Yeah, that does.
It's blown my mind about Skyrim.
Yeah, right.
They may have nerfed the character sheet, but they upped the lore real hard.
Yeah.
You need to do hours of research to understand what the fuck is happening in Skyrim.
Exactly. So the Volokar clan, Harkin's clan, the last surviving vampires of the time of Virther, sought an Elder Scroll to use Ariel's bow to end the sun's threat to vampires. So that's the quest line of Dawnguard.
Yeah, one of them.
Yeah.
If you're with the Dawnguard, you can just kill them.
That's it. This is, again, This would end a non-canon way because it depends what the player chooses be the canon. Is the sun forever changed for vampires? Which I have to assume that like the vampire ending in Dawnguard cannot be canon because they're not going to make the next Elder Scrolls game like all vampires are fine, right?
Oh yeah, they block out the sun.
Unless they do, it's possible that they don't do it in the fourth era, the next game, so it's set before the events of Skyrim.
I don't want that to happen because so far they're all linear.
They have been linear so far.
So, which I think is cool because the timeline between like Arena, Dawnguard, Morrowind, and Oblivion is like a span of something like 25 years.
Yeah, it's very.
And
short.
The thing that pissed me off the most about Skyrim is like they said it 200 years in the future, but nothing changed. Like the politics changed a bit, and saying nine divines is heresy now.
Yeah.
But, like that's it. Like why set it that far in the future?
Yeah,
in the
that's
place?
It. I think. The majority of them take place in the third era. So
yeah.
The Merethic era is the second era.
Okay.
And then there's the third era, fourth era, and third and fourth.
Yeah, the third era I know ends at the end of Oblivion.
Yeah.
And then Skyrim is 4E201.
Yeah, something like
that.
We were talking about Dawnguard, though, and the one point about Dawnguard that I want to say is that I always hate starting that quest because I never want to decide at the end. That's just how I play video games. I don't want to be locked out of one thing.
Yeah.
So I kept Serana with me for most of my playthrough of Skyrim VR.
Yeah, I remember that.
And eventually she started attacking my horse.
Your horse, yeah. She attacked Shadowmere.
Right,
so if you go on twitch.tv/TheLoreBoys and look up Serana hates horses as one of our clips. Serana just attacked my horse for no reason. I think it was a Bethesda glitch because I don't know
it
why.
It was a feature, idiot.
Yeah,
exactly. It was hilarious.
It's a feature and you'll like it, you son of a bitch.
Yeah,
you can still have her as a follower after choosing to kill her father.
Yeah, yep. I didn't want to be turned into a vampire was my whole thing.
Yeah,
because there's an
a vampire lord.
There's an achievement where you can do stuff as a vampire lord, and I do want to get every achievement eventually, but by choosing to be a vampire or not be a vampire, I would prematurely get to that point in my playthrough.
Yeah.
One thing that I'll say about vampirism right now very quickly is Skyrim took the lazy way out, is that Khajiit and Argonian vampires look different than human vampires in Morrowind and Oblivion, and then in Skyrim they were just like, fuck that shit.
They're
and
the
they
exact same
exactly
model.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
And I was like, Kate, that bugs me because I'm a fucking nerd.
Yeah. You bastards are so lazy creating this game with all these quests and all these areas to explore, but you didn't do this one thing the way I wanted you to do it.
Yeah.
To be fair, it is an expansion, though, and they could have put a little bit more time into it because the expansion itself is not... I mean, it's a big expansion compared to other games, as far as Bethesda expansions go, it's not the biggest expansion.
The times that I've reinstalled Skyrim, I actually have not even bothered installing Dawnguard, because Dragonborn is fantastic, and Dawnguard, for me, has always been a disappointment.
I like the main quest. I like the Dawnguard story. I don't like Jamie, I don't like being a vampire lord.
I liked all those sunlight spells. Those were cool.
Yeah.
I used Restoration a lot, and having offensive Restoration spells was cool.
I played Skyrim too late, so I got to the point where the DLCs were already baked into the main game for me, so whenever I was like, oh, I just want to experience Skyrim, like, this extra thing of, like, it's like wearing a fancy hat on Skyrim. I don't need the fancy hat, let me feel Skyrim out first.
Afterwards,
I'll put the fancy hat on. Anyways, Ethan, what were we talking
so
about?
So other, I mean, we're just wrapping up here. I just have other appearances of the Elder Scrolls throughout the history. During the Three Banners War, the Elder Scrolls were an important aspect of the battles waged in Cyrodiil. The three factions would steal each other's scrolls back and forth, and as such, power shifted between them.
That's the PvP in Elder Scrolls Online. It's in Cyrodiil, and it's trying to capture the Elder Scrolls.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Really?
Oh, that's super cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
We were just talking on the way here, like, ESO is always this thing I've always kind of wanted to buy, but just never, ever, ever did.
Yeah. That's it. Well, the Three Banners War, that PvP, is what forms the Empire of Man. What's it called? Is it just the Cyrodiilic Empire?
Yeah.
So, yeah, what eventually forms, you know, like, Cyrodiil when we get to Oblivion is this Three Banners War.
Oh.
It takes place in the Second Era.
And it is, I know the three factions. Oh, man, I haven't played in a while. Daggerfall is one of them.
Daggerfall's a city, right?
No, wait, I might have it wrong. Anyways, in Elder Scrolls Online, there's three factions. There's the Three Banners War. But go on, Ethan. I might have it wrong.
Daggerfall Covenant, Ebonheart Pact, and Aldmeri Dominion.
Ebonheart Pact, yeah.
And then, all three of those, when you play Elder Scrolls Online at the beginning, you have to choose to be one of those packs.
Yeah.
It depends on the race you
play. Depends on your race, right?
You choose the pack, And then from there, you can only choose a set amount of races from each of the packs.
Wait a second. I remember that when they were launching ESO, they did 9 races because the 10th race was the Imperials who did not yet exist.
Yeah, right? And then you have to pay. It's pay to be an Imperial.
But again, in the first era, Man was there. Oh, I guess Red Guards were there in ESO. Right?
Yeah.
So they're the only people. But yeah, the Imperial Cyrodiilic Empire did not exist at the time. This was the formation of that. They were trying to steal an Elder Scroll, which ends up in the Ivory Tower.
Yeah. Or it's a White Gold Tower.
PvP.
Isn't it?
White Gold Tower.
Yeah, PvP in ESO is probably my favorite part about ESO. Like, you can use materials to build, like, siege weapons. Oh, yeah. And you can go with, like, a big squad of people. And if you're, like, actually.
Isn't that shit
together?
Like 100v100 or something?
Yeah. Yeah. It's massive. You can
it's like
spend,
Planetside 2.
Yeah. You spend resources and, like, knocking down walls. And, like, if your other team. Like,
it's like Fortnite, but you're also a lizard.
Yeah, no, but you play together in, like, large teams, too. Like, I played with a clan for a while,
and
man, was it fun. If you can get a good group of playing ESO, PvP is totally worth it.
Yeah.
It's really tactical, it's a giant map, and it's fun.
So, how does the Three Banners War end? I don't think it would be in ESO, unless it's, like, an expansion.
In ESO, it
where
never
they change the
ends.
PvE, yeah.
There is an expansion where you go into, like, the inside of Cyrodiil. Anyways.
Yeah. In the second era, a moth priestess known as Sister Terran Arminus tasked the Vestige, just a moth priest tasked someone with retrieving an Elder Scroll from the White Gold Tower in order for them to fulfill the prophecy written in the scroll. Mm. However, their plan was thrown in jeopardy as the Daedra Molag Kenna masqueraded as an empress at the time and stole the scroll for her master, Molag Bal. So this is when the scroll went to Oblivion, basically.
Yeah. Oh, and Molag Bal's the bad guy in ESO,
so
too.
Is
ties together.
Actually, I'm having a thought right now. I didn't actually look this up.
His realm is Cold Harbor. It's an exact copy of the entire continent of Tamriel, except it's, like, ankle deep in, like, warm gray slush, and the sun never comes out.
Every, like, 10 levels, you go to Cold Harbor to see a little bit of a prophecy from the past.
Gross as fuck, yeah.
So, I didn't research this because I just assumed it was something from a random book in one of the games. But this is a quest in Elder Scrolls Online.
Okay.
So, you are the Vestige.
Oh!
In Elder Scrolls. I just looked it up. Apparently, that's what the main character is called. Also, Soulless One, Meridius Champion, Hero of Cold Harbor, and Savior of Tamriel. So that's the playable character in ESO.
You're Meridius Champion, too?
At some point, she's
like the objectively
good. Yeah.
Well, other than Azura, she's the other one who's, like, objectively good all the time.
But she's also a bitch. Like.
Yeah, wait, I want to follow what you're saying, because I didn't quite get it.
You're the Vestige, and you're sent on a quest to retrieve the Elder Scroll, which is, I guess, like a PvE quest, but apparently you can complete it. You go to the White Gold Tower, and you fulfill your quest or whatever. But your plan is thrown into jeopardy when a Daedra shows up, steals the Elder Scroll, is taking it back to Oblivion. You manage to slay her and return it to the woman who, I guess, puts it back in the same place, and people keep fighting over it.
Okay,
I don't know,
the moth priest.
So I guess it doesn't actually go to Oblivion.
Okay.
I thought it went to Oblivion, and you would have just slain them in Oblivion. Yeah. But it says here you slew Kena, not Molag Bal. Yeah. Obviously,
yeah,
Molag Kena.
The Three Banners don't know you can change the location when you're scrying it, because when you're running it back to your base, someone could just scry it.
Like, the Daedra can't really die, right? Like, when you defeat Dagoth. What's it? Mehrunes Dagon.
Yeah.
At the end of Oblivion,
he's
still there.
Yeah. Elder
in
Scroll.
Skyrim.
Yeah. Elder Scroll 6. Daedra's never died.
The next appearance would be the Hero of Kvatch. Once stole an Elder Scroll from the Imperial Palace.
That's for the Thieves Guild.
Yeah. The Gray Fox gives you a quest to pass on the curse of the Nocturnal's Cowl to the Hero of Kvatch. So the last quest of the Thieves Guild in Oblivion. Where you play as the Hero of Kvatch, which is the first Oblivion gate you close, opens in the town of Kvatch.
Yeah.
Is to steal an Elder Scroll from the White Gold Tower. So presumably, we had this discussion before.
It's a B. Yeah.
Presumably.
We shall presume.
Yeah. Presumably, the same Elder Scroll that they're fighting over in the Three Banners War, you steal for the Thieves Guild in Elder Scrolls Oblivion.
Cool.
An Elder Scroll was also used to cast Alduin forward in time, as well as by the Dovahkiin to learn the Dragonrend Shout.
Yeah.
And that's the Elder Scrolls, the Elder Scrolls.
Cool.
The Elder Scrolls, the Elder Scrolls, the Elder Scrolls, the Elder Scrolls, the
exactly.
Elder Scrolls.
Yeah. I want to download Skyrim. I want to download ESO. I bought one of the expansions for the PvP, and I never got high enough level to actually play it. So yeah. I'd love to go and try that someday.
Sounds like Destiny to me.
Yeah, exactly. It is kind of annoying with, like, okay, we have another release. But if you do like Skyrim, you like MMOs, I said it before, I'll say it again. ESO's fine.
I really admire Bethesda in the fact that they are... They never compromise with a game, no matter how many people play it. They support everything they make all the time.
There's updates all the time.
It's crazy. They're the game developer we deserve, but not the one we need right now.
No, the one we need right now, but not the one we deserve. Bethesda is still just like too good for how much money they clearly make.
Yeah.
Like they make more money than God.
They could chill out like at EA in a heartbeat.
But exactly. But they still just like
they'd still be fine. They'd still make these games, and we would still buy these games. Yeah. Like,
you remember that random ass sci-fi game that we specifically made for Peter, and he's the only person on Earth who bought it? Yeah, here's Moon Crash, like infinitely replayable 5-character Escape the Moon expansion for Prey. It's like what the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's like what you want Doom? Yeah, we made Doom again. It's the best.
Yeah. I do want Doom. I'm very excited about Doom Eternal.
Doom Eternal. The CG trailer told us
nothing
other than the fact that the soundtrack is still good.
Yeah.
And there's a bayonet on the super shotgun now, so
And I will have an erection the entire time I'm playing it.
What?
And I will have an erection the entire time I'm playing it.
I will, absolutely, yeah. I will have an angry boner. I will be very mean to my girlfriend.
Peter, you got such strong eyebrows. I just picture your boner has one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's how I shave my pubes into two other eyebrows.
They look angry.
Yeah. it looks like an angry seagull.
All right. Yeah.
So if we want to see your angry pubes on the internet, where can we find you, Peter?
At Pete O'Donohue on Twitter, Old Aunt Peter on Instagram. I do all the artwork for the Lore Boys, which is now just theloreboys.com.
Yeah.
Yep.
Theloreboys.com.
Loreboys.com. If you want to download the full sized. Banner photos, I guess, per episode. They're on O'Manahue on DeviantArt. They're 1080p opposed to 500p because that's the
same as your wallpaper
limit. Yeah, same as your wallpaper. Do it up. And I make casual appearances 4 times a year on Twitch.
Cool. Also, how you doing? You said before we recorded that you would tell us on the episode, but you never told us how you were doing.
What?
You never told us how you were doing.
Oh, I'm good.
Okay, yeah. Good. And James.
I don't really remember that.
If you want to find me, just recently I stepped up on the internet. I actually have an Instagram profile now, so you can find me at James Miller, no spaces, _TLB for the Lore Boys. James Miller, _TLB. Find me on twitch.tv. This week I will be streaming the new Fortnite Season 5 because something's going to happen. There's a rift above everything. Like, shit's going to go down. They found a hamburger in the desert. Get excited, guys, because there's going to be something
in the real desert.
Hamburgers in the desert.
Yeah, baby. No, like, there's an actual, like, hamburger model that was disappeared from the map in the game and showed up in the real California desert. Like, Epic's going really above and beyond on this, like, whole PR thing.
They're making more money than they could possibly spend. Yeah. They could do whatever they need.
I'm wearing a Fortnite shirt right now, so I'm a little biased, but it's going to be really good. It's going to be really good. And... other than that, you can find me at James the Miller on Facebook. James T.H. Miller. And Ethan.
I'm at Ethan the Dead Man, where it counts. Make sure to follow the Lore Boys on all platforms.
Do it all.
Please leave us some reviews. I know we haven't been reading reviews, and we haven't really checked the reviews in too long because we're lazy pieces of shit. But if you leave us a review, we'll someday read it on the air. And we'll give you a big thank you, and we'll give you a big smooch if we ever see you in person.
On the mouth.
And if you want to support us financially...
You can kiss us on the mouth.
You can kiss us on the mouth, and you could pay us for the privilege.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what this week's Lore Boys Premium is all about, is anybody who signs up for Lore Boys Premium gets one smooch on the mouth from the Lore Boy of their choice, excluding Ethan and Peter from those options.
And so. I'll pay you.
Jamie, no, we talked about that. Oh, Jamie, you can't pay them.
Wait,
stop paying people for this.
I mean, it won't.
Yeah. Okay. Jamie, stay away from the piggy bank, goddammit. give us a like, give us a follow, give us some money, and give a big kiss to Jamie. And that constitutes a Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Out.
Oh. Out. Thank you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.